The 2020 season is in the books, and it's time to debrief. I'm Ben Segisser, and this is World of Baseball. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 50 of the World of Baseball podcast. It is crazy that we are episode number 50, and big things have happened in the major leagues, and we are going to be talking about all these things, starting with the World Series. But before we talk about the World Series, I'm going to make a disclaimer. I am currently pressed for space, more pressed for space than I have been in any other previous episode of this podcast. There has not been a situation like this before. I'm currently in a public area that's very quiet right now, but that could change very quickly, so I'm going to do my best to limit the noise that is coming in from around me. But again, I can't promise anything. The place I am currently at, my gap year program, is really, really pressing us for space right now with a lot of coronavirus restrictions and things like that. We are being moved around, and it is pretty hectic over here. So that explains if you hear any loud sounds or anything like that, or even quiet sounds in the background. I apologize in advance. Let's jump right into it. The Los Angeles Dodgers have done it. They have done it. They have won the 2020 World Series. They have won the 60-game series. They have claimed what is rightfully theirs as consensus the best team in the league. They proved it, and they proved my predictions right down to a game. If you remember my playoff prediction episode, I predicted that the Los Angeles Dodgers would win the World Series against the Tampa Bay Rays in 5 games. I got both my 2 World Series teams right, yet I was off by one game. It took the Dodgers 6 games to win the World Series, and might have taken them less if they had not made that ridiculous play at home plate with 2 back-to-back errors, which was honestly one of the craziest World Series moments in recent history that we can remember and that we know, and it's going to be remembered for a long time. That was a very fun game to watch. In regards to my predictions, we're going to discuss all those predictions, but I've been getting a lot of questions about 2 particular things in the World Series that I'd like to address. Firstly, Manuel Margot trying to steal home the 2-2 count, or I believe the 3-2 count, with 2 outs. I believe Hunter Renfroe was at the plate with Clayton Kershaw pitching. Was it a good move by Manny Margot? I personally think it didn't pay off, but it was a good move nonetheless. The reason I think it was a good move for Manny Margot to make this play is because he had Kershaw timed up. Clayton Kershaw was really not paying attention to him. The Rays offense wasn't going. They had 2 outs. It wasn't likely they were going to get a hit in that situation. He was playing the odds. In this situation, the odds turned against him. But I think there was a legitimate shot that he could have stolen that base, that he could have stolen home on Clayton Kershaw. So if I were him, I probably still would have went. If I was in that same situation and I was thinking about stealing home, I probably would have went for it. I don't see any problem in the way Margot did it. Yes, he did get out, and there obviously it looks bad. But at the same time, he played a risk that usually pays off. He really had Clayton Kershaw sized up, and that play was really, really close. Clayton Kershaw did a great job of getting off the bag. He has a gold glove, Clayton Kershaw, in his career. He's a good defensive pitcher. He stepped off quickly, made a quick throw to home. It was a great throw to home, and he nailed him. He got him square, and that's a great move by Kershaw. But I don't think Margot was in the wrong for doing that move necessarily. If I was in his exact situation, I'd definitely consider doing that 100%. I thought it was a great move, a great play in the World Series, a World Series full of action. The second thing I would like to talk about in the World Series is Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell in 6 innings after he had only given up 2 hits. Again, people are really, really laying it down on Cash right now because of the fact that he pulled Snell, and slightly rightfully so. Yes, it was the decision that probably lost them the game. This decision led to the Tampa Bay Rays losing game 6 of the World Series. 2 things I'd like to point out here. 1, they had the best bullpen in baseball. If any team is allowed to trust their bullpen, it's the Tampa Bay Rays. I know I'm taking up an unpopular opinion here because everyone just wants to blame the manager, but it might be smart. Blake Snell was in 6 innings. He had a good job. You don't want to let him see the order the 3rd time around. I don't think they were ready to show Blake Snell the order for the 3rd time around, and that's why he went to a bullpen that's usually reliable. The bullpen did fail him. It looks very bad for Kevin Cash. It may not have been. In hindsight, clearly it wasn't the best move, but when you're Kevin Cash in that situation, you're playing your odds. Again, I don't see why it's such a bad move. I don't see why I wouldn't do it if I was in his situation. That being said, it sucks for the Rays. Obviously, they're going to go after him. They're going to say, oh, this is what caused the World Series loss. Let me be clear on this, too. This is game 6. Even if he had kept Snell in, they still have to win another game after that. And maybe they could have won that game after that. Maybe they could have brought it to 7 games. The Tampa Bay Rays could have won the World Series. I don't know. We don't know. But regardless, it wasn't a World Series clinching game for the Rays. best situation, they could have tied the series, and they weren't able to do that. So you can blame Kevin Cash all you want, or you could blame the fact that the Los Angeles Dodgers beat them fair and square. They got to the best bullpen of the league, and they ended up winning the game. That's what I have to say on those 2 points in regards to the World Series. Obviously, a fantastic, fantastic World Series to watch. My playoff predictions were right. It was great seeing them come to fruition. This was actually not only the World Series that I predicted, besides for the Indians being in it. I wish that that happened. It was the World Series I wanted. If I had to choose a World Series matchup that the Indians wouldn't be in, I would say Dodgers-Rays. They're both two great teams, two very different teams, both very, very talented teams. And now, because I made predictions at the beginning of the season, we are going to do the debriefing. We're going to go back and we are going to look at the predictions that I made at the beginning of the year, and we are going to explain or declare whether I was right or wrong, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the predictions I made, what I was thinking then, and what I was thinking now. I went back and re-listened to that episode. I believe it's called The Official Predictions. You can check it out if you want. They're not really relevant anymore. Next year's predictions will be relevant. I'm not doing that in this episode. We have great things lined up in the future, by the way. Stay tuned for the upcoming episodes of the World of Baseball podcast. There's going to be a bunch of great, really, really awesome things that are happening with the podcast. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be absolutely insane. We are moving right on to the standing. Let's start by talking about the AL East division. I predicted the New York Yankees to win this division, the Tampa Bay Rays to come in second, Toronto Blue Jays third, Boston Red Sox fourth, Baltimore Orioles fifth. I got this division very wrong. I thought three teams had a shot at winning this division, and I did think the Yankees were going to do it. I did not predict that the New York Yankees were going to be so injury-prone this year. I thought maybe they were done with all their injuries, and I still do think that the healthy New York Yankees lineup could win that division and would have won that division if they had been completely healthy. That being said, the Tampa Bay Rays not only won the division, they became the top seed in the American League. They were the best team in the American League and the second-best team in the MLB at the end of the season, so a great season by the Rays. They won that division. I was very high on the Rays all season. If you listen to that episode, I talked about the Rays, and I said this team could surprise many people, and this team could do great things, and they did. The Toronto Blue Jays did indeed make the playoffs, as I predicted they would, yet they didn't really have any chance to win the division all season long. They were strong, they looked strong all season long, but they weren't that strong. This was the development year for the Blue Jays, and it showed. In regards to the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox, obviously I said both these teams didn't really have a shot. I did not think the Orioles would finish ahead of the Boston Red Sox, but again, in a 60-game season, stuff like that could happen, and it did indeed happen in this case with the Boston Red Sox, a team that won the World Series in 2018, finishing last place in their division 2 years later, hampered by ridiculously awful pitching. I'm not even going to begin to go into how awful the Boston Red Sox pitching is. Moving on to the American League Central, where I predicted the Chicago White Sox would win this division, Minnesota would come in second, and the Cleveland Indians would come in third. There's a little bit of a swap here. The Chicago White Sox did not win the division, yet they did tie for second place with the Cleveland Indians, which I did not expect. I thought the Indians would finish clear in third and probably not make the playoffs. At that time, mind you, I did say that the playoffs would be regular playoffs. I did not think there would be a 16-team format at the time. It had not been announced by the time I made the predictions. So I really had no idea that the Indians would be in the playoffs at that point. The White Sox, I thought, would do better than they did. I kind of overestimated the young core's ability to have longevity. They slumped a little bit. They declined a little bit by the end of the year. But Jose Abreu did have a fantastic season, and many of their young superstars, including Lewis Robert, had a great year. So we're going to see the White Sox be at the top of this division. I'm going to predict them as the top of this division coming into this year, especially because I think they're going to sign a quality free agent outfielder, which I will talk about in the future episode of the podcast. They ended up finishing second in their division, only a game behind the Minnesota Twins, who finished first, and in classic Minnesota Twins fashion, fizzled out in the playoffs, becoming totally and completely irrelevant to a team that no one wanted to see win, the Houston Astros. Minnesota Twins, I predicted to have second in the division. I thought they'd have a recession compared to their first season where they were the Minnesota Twins, the Baby Bombers. I forgot what they call them. Not the Baby Bombers. That's the New York Yankees. Bomba Squad was the Minnesota Twins. I thought they were going to have a fantastic season. They had a good season. They won the division. But again, they fizzled out in the playoffs. They proved that the Minnesota Twins can be great, but they're not going to go anywhere in the playoffs. I honestly think it's time to build a stronger core. I think they should trade some of their assets and create a stronger core, maybe a better pitching staff, maybe a better bullpen, and definitely shore up some offensive positions. We'll see what the Minnesota Twins do. I'm definitely going to preview the Minnesota Twins at the beginning of the season. In regards to the Cleveland Indians, they had a better season than I expect them to have. They had a 7-game losing streak followed by a 7-game winning streak at one point in the season. They closed off the season strong, finished in tied for second place in that division. It was a strong season. The starting pitching really performed. They made a blockbuster trade, trading away Mike Clevenger, which might have ended up hurting them in the long run. It would have been helpful to have him as a starter in the playoffs instead of guys who gave up a lot more runs than he did, like Zach Plesac. Shane Bieber absolutely got rocked in the playoffs as the Indians couldn't really pull through in the playoffs. The starting rotation, the one part of the Cleveland Indians team that everyone really, really trusted to succeed, did did the exact opposite. They totally and colossally failed when it came down to it. So they didn't end up having a great season, but I did predict them in third place in the division. They tied for second. I'm going to say that's a solid prediction. I predicted the AL Central decently well, besides the division winners, obviously Royals and Tigers in fourth and fifth. Not much to be said about them. I do see more brightness in the future of the Detroit Tigers than I do in the Kansas City Royals. This isn't something I've said very often. I usually see more brightness in the Royals farm system than the Tigers, but Casey Mize is a very impressive young starting pitcher, and I think he is going to be fantastic in his major league career. We got to see a little glimpse of him this year. It was really cool to watch. This next division, I predicted brutally wrong, and I'm going to explain why. Starting off with the Houston Astros, I predicted the Houston Astros to win the division. I did not know that whatever caused them to hit so badly this year would cause them to hit so badly this year. They barely snuck into the playoffs. They snuck into the playoffs as second place in their division, a division that absolutely sucked this year. I personally thought the Houston Astros would win the division, the Los Angeles Angels would finish second in the division, and then the Oakland Athletics would finish third. I was way wrong. The Oakland Athletics ended up winning the division with a 36-24 record, a .600 winning percentage. They had a fantastic year. Another team very similar to the Rays in regards to their fundamental baseball abilities. The Oakland Athletics are a fundamental team. They did everything right. Losing Matt Chapman was a big loss for them, and in the end, they couldn't get their starting pitching to perform at a high level, a level enough to win in the playoffs. They did win against the Chicago White Sox in the first round, but absolutely got wrecked by the Houston Astros in the next round. The Astros did finish second in the division. I thought they'd finish first. I thought their hitting core would be better. I also did not think Justin Verlander would be out for the entire season. I was assuming Justin Verlander was going to be healthy. The guy's a crazy good pitcher, and he would have won this team a couple more games, maybe would have thrust him into first place. I'm not sure. The Houston Astros did end up finishing second in the division, and the third place team that I projected, just a horrible prediction by me. I thought the Los Angeles Angels had something in the tank. I thought, oh yeah, you got Ohtani, you got Rendon, you got Mike Trout, you got Justin Upton. What happened to these guys? Ohtani had a bad year. Anthony Rendon didn't really stand out at all this season. Justin Upton entirely fell off the table as anything relevant or close to a good player. And Mike Trout had a Mike Trout season, but that doesn't really matter in this situation because the Los Angeles Angels as a team couldn't put their pitching together and ended up finishing fourth in the division with the Seattle Mariners, a young team doing better than expected this year, finishing 27-33, a .450 winning percentage, only 9 games out of first place, ended up finishing third in that division with the Texas Rangers, who had a major collapse of their starting rotation and basically everything. That Kluber trade did not pay off for them. They didn't even get to see him pitch. It did not pay off at all, and the Texas Rangers finished last in that division. That's all I got to say on that division. The predictions were just colossally wrong. The predictions were very bad there. The Oakland Athletics, putting them in third place, I don't know what I was thinking when I did that. I should have looked more into the Athletics, and I'll definitely put them higher up on the board this coming season because they are a team capable of doing things that we did not expect, and they showed that. They absolutely showed that. Moving right along to the National League, we are going to talk, starting with the NL East. Predicted this division relatively well, I would say. I said this division was up in the air. There was one major change that I would not have predicted, which is the Washington Nationals finishing last. I predicted the Washington Nationals to finish in a playoff spot, and I was way wrong on that prediction. Starting with the first place team, the Atlanta Braves, they did exactly what you would expect a team like the Atlanta Braves to do. They started off the season strong. They continued into the regular season. They had a little bit of a slump, but overall, they remained a strong team, and that's partially due to their young core. You have Ronald Acuna. You have Ozzie Albies. You have Christian Pache coming into step in the playoffs, and they made a deep run into the playoffs because they have electric young core that works really hard to win baseball games. Their starting rotation was strong. They didn't have Mike Soroka, but that didn't really matter for them. They finished the season as a strong team, and they took this division. This Atlanta Braves team is a team that you're going to see at the top of the NL East for a long, long time. This team is young and they're good. And with Mike Soroka back in the rotation, they're going to be solid all around. Their bullpen is forming up with Mark Melancon as their closer. They're rallying around him, and it's going to be a good team for the long-term future. This Atlanta Braves team looks good, and especially if they re-sign Marcell Ozuna, they are going to be a strong team for years and years to come. I predicted them first. I was correct on that one. I predicted the Nationals to be second, and obviously they just had a collapse of a season. Nothing really went right for the Nationals this year. A 60-game season where you're slumping almost the entire time, it's just tough. The New York Mets, I talked about the New York Mets with Yakov Neuer on an episode of the podcast. I forget what it's called, but it has something to do with the Mets. I think it's like the Mets Madness or something like that. Honestly, I can't remember the name of the episode. But the New York Mets had a bad season. Marcus Stroman opting out right after he was qualified to be a free agent is just a low move by him, and it wrecked the Mets' chances. Noah Syndergaard wasn't healthy all season long. They couldn't get quality quality innings out of their bullpen. But what they could get is quality hitting, but not when it counted. Their batting average, their team batting average, was the highest in the league this year, but they still weren't able to finish because of a low batting average with runners in scoring position. Absolutely no clutch for the Mets. They finished fourth. I predicted the Phillies to finish fourth, and I predicted the Miami Marlins to finish fifth. The Marlins made the playoffs. Come on. No one was expecting that. You cannot fault me for the Miami Marlins prediction, putting them in fifth place in the division, because that's what everyone expected. They had a great season. A young team surprised us all. That's just a fluke. It happens sometimes in baseball, and it might happen more and more if they keep the 16-team format. We'll see what happens. I am very much so pro maintaining that 16-team format. The Miami Marlins finished second place in that division. The Philadelphia Phillies, just how much are you going to pay guys to be irrelevant? How much are you going to pay guys like Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto and Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler to just be entirely irrelevant for your franchise? How does this team not make the playoffs and finish with a losing record in a 60-game season? The Phillies are just magnificent. This entire division could have so much upside, but at the same time, so much downside, and the Braves are going to be consistent through the next couple years, and that's what's going to lead the Braves to division title after division title after division title and deep postseason runs. Moving on to the NL Central, I predicted this one wrong as well in terms of division leader. As I look back, these predictions that I made at the beginning of the season were really not solid. Everything about this 2020 season, like 2020, was just ridiculously unpredictable. Starting with the Chicago Cubs, who won first place, I predicted them to finish in third place behind the St. Louis Cardinals and the Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Reds had a good season. They made the playoffs. The St. Louis Cardinals had a good season. They made the playoffs. They managed to both sneak in with the records for the Cardinals, 30-28, and for the Reds, 31-29, both managing to sneak into the playoffs. None were as good as the Cubs, though, who finished with a 34-26 record, enough to secure first place in the division. Four teams out, the five teams in this division made the playoffs. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Pirates, being the worst team in the league this year, did not make the playoffs, but that's no surprise considering the Pirates right now where they are. That was entirely expected the entire season. The Chicago Cubs won the division. I didn't expect it. I didn't think the Cubs were as good as they were in previous years. I thought they were kind of on the downswing and many other teams would beat them out for that division lead, maybe the Reds, maybe the Cardinals, but they had a good year. Yu Darvish pitched better than they expected. Alec Mills pitched well. He had a no-hitter this year. The offense kind of showed up, and because of that, they were able to win the division. The St. Louis Cardinals were ravaged for players. They got struck by the coronavirus hard, and that caused them a lot of trouble during the season. The Reds looked like the best team in the division at some points this season, but their offense couldn't get going at the same time as their pitching, and that caused them a lot of trouble, and that's why they dropped to third place in this division. I don't really know what happened with the Milwaukee Brewers. They were kind of just irrelevant and average, got into the playoffs, but didn't really stand a chance once they were there. It's going to be interesting to see the direction that the Milwaukee Brewers decide to go this offseason. Do they build up a little stronger and maybe challenge for the top of the division? Do they trade away pieces that they have? And they have a couple solid pieces to acquire a long-term successful team that like build prospects for the future. We'll see what happens. Those division predictions, a little bit off, but it was okay. Moving on to the NL West, which I predicted pretty much accurately. The Los Angeles Dodgers obviously winning the division with a record of 43-17, the best record in baseball, and ultimately winning the World Series. Congratulations to the LA fans who listen to this podcast. Well deserved. Should have had it in 2017. Got robbed by a cheating Houston Astros team. You are back. You're on top. I don't care that it's a 60-game season. The Dodgers deserved it. The Dodgers won it. They would have won it anyway, and this was 100% deserved by the LA Dodgers. Moving on to the second team in this division, the San Diego Padres. The San Diego Padres surprised everyone with a solid season. They had a ridiculously solid season this year. Finished 37-23. They were young. They were aggressive with the bats. They played flashy defense. They hit grand slams. They were great to watch. And this Padres team is going to continue to challenge for the division. Will they knock out the Dodgers in the next 3 years? That's a great question. Who knows? But they seem to be on the upswing more than the Dodgers. And I think in 1 or 2 years, you could see a legitimate challenge for the division from the San Diego Padres. Moving on to the third spot, the San Francisco Giants. I expected the Diamondbacks and the Giants to switch spots here. I don't see much happening for Los Angeles the San Francisco Giants, but they're a well-managed team in general, and young talent on this team like Mike Yastrzemski have shown that they can perform when it counts. The Giants are also at a crossroads here. For the last two seasons, they've been on the fringe of making the playoffs. Maybe they'll make it, maybe they won't make it, and they've ended up being eliminated in both seasons. So this team maybe try and add pieces to perform better and maybe try and make the playoffs, not necessarily challenge for a division, but a wild card spot. Or do they develop their prospects more? Do they trade away their assets? They're at a similar situation that the Milwaukee Brewers are in. Moving on to the fourth and fifth place teams, the Colorado Rockies and Arizona Diamondbacks. Charlie Blackmon came on and was very, very hot with the Colorado Rockies to start off the season. Everyone expected their season to be absolutely unreal, for their season to be absolutely great. It wasn't. They finished 26-34. Just a bad season. The offense didn't perform. No one was getting along in the dugout. The clubhouse didn't look good for Colorado. It's going to be interesting to see what they do because they do have a lot of offensive assets they could trade for big returns, most notably Nolan Arenado. Moving on to the fifth place team, the Arizona Diamondbacks, an irrelevant season for them. The year that they paid guys to perform a little more, that they acquired players to perform, it kind of blew up in their face, and it didn't work out the way they wanted it to work out, and that was the Arizona Diamondbacks this season. Those were my predictions. I believe I predicted the NL West's first two spots right, but I think I had the Diamondbacks in third and the Rockies in fourth and the Giants in fifth. That switched around. Overall, my predictions were decent. They were okay. They weren't great. I think I could have done better, but at the same time, with a 60-game season, you honestly don't know what's going to happen. I'm interested to see at the end of next year, when hopefully we have a 162-game season, how well my predictions work, how well they go. It'll be interesting to see. Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 50 of the World of Baseball podcast. Great things coming for the podcast. I've begun to line up my off-season guests. We're looking to have some great guests talking about great things, taking quizzes, having a blast. We're talking about the Dodgers hopefully next week. It's going to be absolutely awesome. Thank you guys for tuning in to the World of Baseball podcast. This is Ben Ziegesser signing out. If you like what you're hearing from the World of Baseball podcast, please consider supporting. The link is in the podcast description. Thank you so much and have a good day.